All right, so we're going to talk about today the tools for the journey. We've been talking about discipleship. We talked about salvation and the process. Salvation is not joining a church, is it?
No.
Can you receive salvation by joining a church?
No.
No. What do you receive when you join a church?
A
box of envelopes. I had mine. It was box 104. I'll never... 104. And I thought I had arrived. I got a box of envelopes. It was awesome. And when everybody else was looking around to find an envelope, I had mine. And everybody knew who 104 was. So is joining a church, will that save you?
No.
It will not. As a matter of fact, depending on what church you join, it might not save you at all.
Amen.
Isn't that also true?
Yes.
How many know churches get in the way sometimes, right?
Yes.
Religion gets in the way. So we've been talking about our discipleship training. We've been saying that salvation leads to what? Regeneration, which leads to what?
Justification,
which leads to what? Sanctification, which leads to what?
Glorification.
That's the process. And so many people, when you join a church, you think you've arrived. No, you haven't. You found a space in the pew. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you think you finally made it. No, you didn't. You just got on the team. Now it's time to what?
Work.
Work out your salvation with what?
Fear
and trembling. So when you ask Jesus into your heart, that's the beginning part. That's not the ending part, is it? No. The fact is, when you accept Jesus Christ, there are two manifestations. Two. You say, I accept you as my Savior and my what?
Lord.
Everybody wants the Savior part. They're just not so keen on the Lord part. Because when you say Lord, Lord over what?
Life.
My life. How many's willing to give the Lord Jesus some of your stuff? Some of your life, right? Anybody here willing to give Him all of your life? Every single aspect of it? Right? Did you know that these bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? How many know that? Temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you know you're supposed to take care of this? You can obviously see how well I'm taking care of mine, right? And so we got to understand that we have to do what we have to do. We can't just talk the talk. We have to what?
Walk
the walk. And in order to help us walk the walk, we have some tools. Obviously, we have God's Word, right? We have Sunday schools and discipleship training. But God gives us more tools. And we're going to call the tools today the fruit of the Spirit. He gives you some things that help you along the journey. And the first one that we're going to talk about today is love. We're going to talk about love. And they were asking a group of Sunday school kids, what's love? That's fair. What's love? And the little preschooler raised his hand and he said, well, that's when a little girl puts on her mommy's perfume and the little boy puts on his daddy's cologne and they go around all day sniffing each other. Isn't that pretty cool? That's pretty cool, right? It's kind of like when you're married for like a million years and you still like each other. That's fair. That's a fair definition of love, right? And so today we need to kind of talk about love. A little girl in first grade said, that's when you look at a boy and fireworks shoot out of your eyes. Oh, I know, isn't that? Aw. So we, in our culture, we have a whole bunch of ways that we say love, right? I was at one of the centers where I work at, and they were playing bingo. And one of the ladies lost. And she was one that wins pretty often. And she lost. And the woman turned and said, I love when you lose. Love when you lose. Think about that, right? I love when you lose. Have you ever loved when somebody lost in life? Maybe the person that's always seemed to be getting ahead. And you say, boy, I just love it when you lose. Or I love it when you fall. Or I love when you don't get your own way. You ever use a word like that for that? Probably. How many's ever used a word like that, right? But I love it when you don't get ahead. Boy, you know, you're getting everything. I just love it. You're using that word love, aren't you? Right? So today we need to explain to you, and I'm going to open it up really a lot on Wednesday, about what love is and what it is not. That's fair, right? How many of you love somebody in this room? How many of you love somebody unconditionally? No strings attached ever. We got a couple here? Okay. How many got some strings attached? Three of us. But let me explain it maybe kind of this way, okay? I'll explain it kind of this way. Jimmy, do you love Carol with no strings attached?
I try.
You see that waffling he did? That's like that right in the middle part again, right?
There's only one person who can do that.
Right. So the answer is?
No.
No. Okay, who said yes? You did, okay. Let me explain it to you this way. Let's just suppose that, and the example I love to give is, I want to love my wife Sissy with no strings attached. But I like to do that. And so I buy her a dozen of roses just because. Just because she's so special. Right? Not her birthday. And no, guys, I didn't do anything wrong. No, I didn't, Lenny. It's not her birthday. It's not an anniversary. It's not anything. I just, because I want to. I want to. And so I call the florist on the phone and I say, hey, I know it's going to be very difficult to buy roses as pretty as my wife. That's pretty good, huh?
Yes.
I know. Pretty good, huh? And I say to him, look, I want you to deliver them to the house, and when she gets them, can you call me so I'll know that she got them? Oh, yeah, no problem whatsoever. And so he picks out long stem roses and he delivers to her. He calls me on the phone and he says, Pastor, I delivered the roses. And I say, good, what did she say? As a matter of fact, she didn't say anything. Huh? Oh, okay. Well, she's probably busy. Well, what time did you drop them off? 9:00. Oh, perfect. 9:30, no phone call. 10:00, no phone call. No nothing. What am I thinking?
Where's your thinking?
Is that a string?
Yep.
Uh-huh. So I call her. Hey, Sissy, what's going on? Hey, nothing. I'm kind of busy right now. Can I call you back? Can you believe it? I said, sure. She'll call me back. I call her at lunchtime. Sissy. Oh, yeah, I was really busy. I didn't have a chance to call you back. What do you want? Anything exciting happen today? No, not I can think of. Nothing? No, I don't think so. What am I feeling?
Hurt.
Is that a string?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What am I thinking in my mind? Am I thinking like, what? Well, she can't even say what? Thank you? What, she can't even acknowledge what I did? She can't even say thank you? But there's no strings attached, of course. Right? I have no strings. Unconditional. All day long, she doesn't call me and say thank you. Which, nothing. So I go home and I walk in the house and there's the box of roses. And she's upstairs. I say, Sissy. Yeah, I'll be down. Sissy, did you get those roses I sent you? Oh, yeah, thanks. What does that thank you mean to me now?
Nothing.
But you're going to tell me that when you do something with somebody, you don't even want to thank you. Is that right? Is that what you're saying to me? That you don't want an acknowledgement of how beautifully wonderful you are? You don't even want a hug? You don't want nothing? How many want at least a hug? How many want at least a phone call? How many want at least a card that says thank you? How many want that? Strings attached. You see, we say we love people unconditionally. Well, yeah, as long as they do what you want them to do. True? Oh, there's always a string. There's always a string attached. Always. And the reality of it is this. You would rather give something to somebody you do not know and receive nothing in return. But when you give it to someone that shares your blood or shares your bed or shares your last name, you want at least a what? Ain't that something? Isn't that something? How many want at least a thank you? That's strings. There's always a string attached. Are you glad that God loves you without strings attached?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Humphrey's really thankful that He loves you so much, no strings attached. Yes. He loved you when you hated Him. Yes. He loved you when you turned your back on Him. Fact is, He loved you when you were still a sinner. That's pretty powerful. We need to talk about the four different kinds of love here today, so that when we talk about love, we need to fully understand that in the English language, we only have one word. What is it? Love. We only got one. One. Like, today they're having a pasta buffet. Boy, I think they did that in my honor. How many know I love pasta? How many love pasta? How many love it covered with sauce and cheese and meatballs? Jimmy, meatballs? Oh, how many love meatballs? How many love your spouse? Oh. I need to talk to Jimmy. Jimmy? Pastor Jimmy? You said you love meatballs and you love Carol. Which one do you love the most? Whoa!
Love both.
Carol, I have time available Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
He's in big trouble.
Oh! Woo! And so, you see what we do. We love our spouses, we love our kids, we love our grandbaby, we love some meatballs, we love to watch the Steelers play, we love a sunny day, we love when we have a day off, we love when people lose. Well, which one is it? True. And so there's levels of love. There's levels of love. One time I was as a youth pastor, when you get out of school, you always become a youth pastor first, because they think if you can survive that, you'll make it. Jimmy, is that true?
Yeah, that's how usually I work.
You're always with the kids first. If you make it with the kids, you know, sleeping on the floor, doing your Monville thing, you know, up all night long. If you can survive that, you'll make it. But thank God I survived it. Anybody ever go on a youth retreat? Sleep on the floor? Oh, sweet Jesus. Anybody ever go to Creation and take like 30 kids with you? Oh, who's ever done that? Just me? You haven't lived until you're sharing a port-a-john with 5,000 people. And you're the 4,999th person. Just think about it, right? Yeah. So I was a youth pastor for a while, and this one kid came up to me. He's 15 years old. He said, Pastor Tom, I'm in love. You're in love? Huh. Well, who are you in love with? Becky. Becky, you just met her today for the first time. Yeah, but look at her. I said, what do you mean, look at her? She's fine looking. Look at the way she's dressed. Oh, I love Becky. I said, oh. Let me help you spell love. L-U-S-T. Yeah. You are not loving Becky, you're what? Lusting Becky. How many of you know it doesn't take much for a young teenage boy to love a young teenage girl? Mary? Pretty quick loving, ain't it? How many know a young boy can love a young girl pretty quick? Right? How many women here know when them little boys start loving on you, right? They didn't love you, did they? No, we know that. The fact is, on the bottom of the love list, where from the weakest to the strongest, is called eros, E-R-O-S, eros. And from that word, they got a Latin word, erostica. And from erostica, we got an English word, what's it called? Erotic. Is that a bad thing?
No.
Not between a husband and wife. It's the physical love. It's the intimate love. It's that want to be together love. It's that love that you have, hopefully, between a husband and the wife. It's usually the first thing a man has when he sees a woman for the first time. It's erotic. It's biological. How many have biological things going on in your head from time to time? It's natural. It's normal. But on the list of importances when it comes to love, where's it at? On the bottom. Because if you build a relationship based upon eros, if you build it on that, you know, when you first get married, you love one another. Oh, I'm so much in love with you. So much in love with you. You'll know it's eros when you say things like this. And can you wear that special dress I love so much? That's eros. Because you're not saying, I love you for you. You say, I love you for how I feel. When you do A, B, or C. And when you stop doing A, B, or C, and you no longer can fit into that little dress I like so much, well, we got a problem. And you'll hear things like, you know, you ought to lose some weight. Is that love? What is it? It's lust. It's lust. When you look at the physical appearance of your spouse, the physicality of your whatever, and you say, you know, boy, you better take better care of yourself because you know what? I don't think I love you. You know what you're saying? You don't love her in the first place. You what? Mm-hmm. It's a good thing we don't have that in marriages, huh? It's a good thing I don't have to counsel anybody that's saying he doesn't love me anymore. Why not? Because I gained 20 pounds. Well, are you kidding me? How many thankful the person around you loves you still?
Yeah.
I know, I'm still looking like I'm 20 years old. I get that. So on the bottom line of a love plateau is physical love. Did you know anybody can have that for anybody and not even know their name? Isn't that true? That's eros. So you move up one. You move up one on the line and you go to philos. In Philos, we have a city named after that. What is it?
Philadelphia.
It is the what?
City.
It's love for your friends. It's love for your friends. And that's a pretty powerful love. Love for your friends. How many have friends? How many need a friend? Anybody need a friend? Okay, you know the best way to be a friend is to be a friend. If you're a friend, you'll get friends, right? So how many need friends? Okay, let's see. I'm applying for the job. Can I be your friend?
Yes.
Okay, who else needs a friend? Who needs a friend? I'm applying for the job. Can I be your friend?
Sure.
Hey, there's too many. Somebody apply for the job here, okay? Who all needs a friend? Who needs a friend? Somebody get up and apply for the job. Come on, apply for the job. I'm applying for the job. I'm your friend. What? Nobody's applying for the job? Jimmy, get up here. We got people right here who's applying for the job. You need a friend. Who else needs a friend? Who needs a friend? Dave Lewis, you had your hand up. You got him. Who else needs a friend? We're okay here. Anybody else need a friend? Kenny, in case you're not bold enough, I want to be your friend.
I need friends.
All right, okay, the third level on the love is called sorge. And sorge is a love of family. The love of family. How many love your family? How many love it more when they go? Thank you for being honest. There, thank you, Rhoda. There, yeah. Now, it's an interesting thing about loving our families. Interesting thing. You know, I watch people because that's what I do. I watch people. And sometimes I see people being more kind to visitors than they are to their family. I see it. How many understand what I'm saying to you? I see it. Like, for example, Sissy and I, you know, we go lots of places. And in fact, we were at a place yesterday, and I was doing a concert. It was called Praise Fest, and it was at in Elizabeth, PA. I was part of a concert, and when Sissy didn't bring a chair, she didn't bring a chair, and there was a gentleman there, and Sissy was standing there, and he offered her a chair. That's a very kind thing to do, right? Very kind thing to do. And I said to him, well, where's your wife? Well, she's standing over there. Oh. How many follow me here?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you think that your wife should get some priority here?
Yeah.
How many understand what I'm saying to you? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, when we go places and somebody helps Sissy with a coat off, I'm looking at the wife and she'll got a coat on. What's with that? What's with that? Shouldn't you help your spouse first? How many agree with that statement? Let me put it to you this way, another way. When I train folks, I say to them, you know, I know I told Jimmy and Colin this, I know I told them this, you know, you have no right going to my house and ministering to my family when your families are shaken up. You have the right. You take care of where first? You take care of your house. How many agree with that statement? All right. An interesting thing is that we say we have this great love for our families, this great love for our families, and so many men will go out and they'll do everything they can to protect their family from anything that goes bump in the night. I know that. You can see it. You can see people say, well, you know what? I'm going to get that ADT thing. I'm going to spend $29.95. I'll put little things on my window so when they open up, it's going to go beep, beep, beep. I'm going to get that for my family so they're safe. And I'm going to put some deadbolt locks on the doors to make sure they're safe. I'm going to get me a fence. I might even put electricity in it. I might get me a pit bull that's a friend with a Rottweiler and not feed him for a week. And when I'm gone, I'm going to tell them, turn on the alarm system, put the dogs out, make sure the windows are bolted and the doors are locked so nobody can get in. That's a good idea, right? But you know the sad thing about that? Nobody can get out either. Huh. Mary, nobody can get in, but guess what? Nobody's getting out. And the sad thing about how we say we love one another is we're protecting everybody from everybody out there, but who's protecting them from you in there? Men and women. Men and women. How many understand what I'm saying to you? On any given day, the way we love somebody, we all call them on the phone and say, put the dogs out, I'm on the way home. And I had a bad day. How many's ever had a bad day? How many's ever had that day that starts down by your feet and goes all the way up? Right? And you're riding on the bus and say, I'm just going to rip that person up. I don't even know, but I don't care. No. You wait till you what?
Get home.
Isn't that something? That's how we love one another. Really? Really? How many could do a better job at it? Right? And so we have three phases of love so far. We have eros, which is on the bottom. We have philos, that's love of friend. We have sorge, which is love of family. And then we go to the top, which is agape. Agape love. And it's amazing to me that the majority of people that I marry want me to read that. Do you know that, Jimmy? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I had a very white voice, I'd use it, but I don't. The love chapter. Can you read that love chapter? Yeah, I can read it, but can you do it? Oh yeah, I'll read it. Oh, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I am nothing but a gonging cymbal. If I give everything away but do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient. I can't get past the first one. How many can get past the first one? Love is patient. I can't get past that one. Jimmy, you probably do. Okay, Carol does. Especially that meatball egg there. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. How many can remember when somebody hurts you? Anybody can remember when they really hurt you? I mean, they really, you still can remember it to this day. How many can remember that? Somebody that you love really, really hurts you. You remember that? See, that's too bad. Because love keeps no records. Oh. Failed. Already. And so what we have to concentrate on in order to stay on the narrow road, what we need to do to walk sanctification highway, what we have got to do in order to be more Christ-like is to love as Christ did. That's hard. Isn't it? Mike, that's hard. Some people will say it's impossible. Some people say it can't be done. But then Jesus said, with me you can do what? Let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
And there's the tools. That's the tools for Sanctification Highway. And we are going to talk about every one of them in detail. You cannot possibly be like Christ if you cannot do those things. It's not possible. Not possible. And so we're going to open up each one of those fruit, each one of those tools in specificity, and we're going to talk about each one of them. Today, in generality, we're going to talk about the first one, which is what? Love. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8.
But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Now, that's an interesting concept, church. I'll tell you why it's interesting. Because I'm going to say to you, each of you are going to say to me, you know God. How many know God? One, two, three, four. Okay. All right. But that scripture clearly says, if you don't love, you don't know him. That's what that just says. Jimmy, that did say that, right? We said. How many of you know Sissy? How many know Sissy in this room? No, you don't. I know Sissy. You know who she is when she walks in the room. How many understood what I just told you? I mean, you know her when she walks in the room. Oh, there's Sissy. But do you know her? Mm-mm. Can you tell me what makes her afraid? Mm-mm. Can you tell me what her deepest likes and dislikes are? Mm-mm. Can you tell me what she's afraid of? Mm-mm. You can't tell me that. There's no way you know that. I know that. You don't know that. I mean, that's a fair statement, right? Do you know the things that bothers her? Do you know what her goals and dreams are? Do you know anything about it? Do you know anything like that? Well, do you know that? No, who knows that? Me. And so when you say to me, I know God, my challenge to you is, oh, do you really? Or do you know of him? Do you know of him? But do you really what? Know him. Scripture says, if you do not love, you do not know him. Because he requires what? Love. Isn't that an eye-opening experience? I know of him, but do I know him? And Scripture clearly says, she just read for you, Scripture clearly says, anyone who does not love does not know him. Why not? For God is what? Would God chase the guy down at the light that ran it, chase him over and give him a piece of his mind?
No.
Well, he wouldn't do that, lady. Would he? How many of us would do that? Oh, Mary. You just go by and say, oh, you lost? Right? Okay. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13.
Oops. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
All right. Now check this out. The divorce rate in the good old U.S. of A. is in the 50th percentile. 50%. Right, Carol? You're a social worker. 50%. The flip of a coin. The flip of a coin. And when I stand here and I'm with the groom and here she comes, he goes, look at her. I can't even talk. And she comes down the aisle in all the pomp and when they finally get to me and I say to him, do you love her? And he says what? Oh, yes. And I say to her, and do you love him? Oh, most certainly I do. Love never fails. And love does not end. Not my words. His words. How many agree with that statement? So what happened? There's only some possibilities, church. There's only some possibilities. When somebody says to me, well, I fell out of love with her. Oh. Well, then God's lying. Right? God must be lying. Because he said love never ends. He said, how many know he did say that? These three remain. These three remain. But the greatest is what? And it will never end. So, I guess when you said it, you didn't mean it. Is that a fair statement? It's fair. And so we have to understand that if we say we know God, well then we must love like God. It's not possible. Jesus said all things are possible. All things are possible. And you might say to me, yeah, but Pastor Tom, you don't understand. But I know you're going to get to that enemy part, and that's going to just drive me up the wall. When you get to that enemy part, I know you're going to say it. I know you're going to think it. When you get to that enemy part, love your enemy. I know you can't love your enemy as yourself because you can't love the people in your house. How can you love your enemy? How many agree with that statement? It's true, right? And so we have to work on it. I told you last week, Sissy got me a nail gun. Mark, does that just do things for you? A nail gun. And a miter saw. And yes, a ladder. And the more... I did tell you about my chainsaw, didn't I? How many know about the chainsaw story?
Yes.
A couple of you? You guys don't know about the chainsaw story, do you? Well, see, I was cutting down trees in my yard. I didn't even get to the store yet. And I'm cutting down these trees in my yard with this power saw, chainsaw, right? Oh, I loved it. And I cut these trees down. Life was good. And then I had to move the logs. They were too big, right? So it was a big log, so I straddled the log like this. With the chainsaw right here. Everybody see where this is going, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know the chainsaws go like that. I didn't know that. So I'm cutting and it goes, quack. And I went,
uh-oh.
And the chainsaw cut my pants from here to here. Really did. I went, but please don't think me wrong, I went like this. And I walked in the house and my wife saw I cut my pants like that. I nicked the skin. And she bought me another saw. I thought she loved me. But the better you get with the tool, the better it is, right? The more you use it, the more you get it. Listen to me. Practice does not make perfect. Who's ever heard that before? It doesn't. Don't forget this. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. One more time. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes what?
Permanent.
I'm never going to forget how to play that. Ever. I can do it in my sleep, do it with my eyes closed, do it behind my back. Not because I'm perfect, but because it's what? Permanent. How many understand what I just told you? And the more you practice love, and the more you use love, guess what happens? Permanent. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's because who you are. It's not a thought anymore. It's who you are. You don't have to consciously think about it. Why, Lenny? It's who you are. You think God has to think about loving you? How many thankful God doesn't have to think about loving you? How many of you are unlovable some days? Was there anybody unlovable this morning when you got up? Mark. And Lindy too. Come here, Mark. Thanks, Mark, for being honest with me. Everybody else, when I get to that lying part. You had a hard time this morning. And Lenny, can you just give Lenny a hug? She needs a hug because she wasn't too lovable this morning either. Look at the love in this place. It's awesome. Aren't we all unlovable at times? That's where you are, right? Let's turn in our Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstances. Prophecy and speaking in unknown language and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever.
Forever. Forever is a long time. How long? A long time. How is it possible that love can last forever? That's a long time. Right? That's a long time. Forever? Forever? Yeah. Forever. So how is that possible? How is that possible? It sure can't be Eros. How many have a relationship with somebody that look the same as they did when you first met them? Right? How many know that it's difficult to love somebody when they get on your nerves? Is that true? It's true. It's true, right? But you know, God says it shouldn't matter. God just said in His holy word, He just said, love does not insist on its own way. Anybody here like to get your own way? Two people. This is awesome. Oh, three? Four, five, six, seven. Come on. Who likes to get their own way? You know you do. You know you do. You never get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to be such a good person. I'm going to let everybody get their own way today.
No.
Well, you know that's not how this rolls, right? How many get in arguments sometimes? You two get in arguments at all? What's the goal of an argument?
Win.
To win it. True?
Yes.
At what expense?
Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. So when you get in an argument, the goal is to what, Lenny? Win. We got to win. You got to win. Which means that if you're arguing with somebody else and you want to be the winner, you make the other person the what?
Loser.
At what expense?
At all costs.
All costs. Whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to make sure you become a what? Loser. So that I can be a what? At any expense. Isn't that something? Now, how many of you ride the Pat bus and pick an argument with somebody that you don't know? How many go to work to a purpose? Hey, I don't know you, but I don't like you. I just have an argument right now. You know who you argue with? You ready? You ready? The people you argue with, you ready? The people you say you love. Ain't that something? Right, Kenny? You don't pick arguments with people that you don't know. No. You are willing to make the people who have your blood in your veins, you are willing to have the people that share your last name, you are willing to have the friends that you say you love to be a loser. At what expense?
All.
Please don't love me that way. I'm serious. Don't ever love me that much, okay? I don't want to be a loser. I'm serious. If you're going to make me a loser because, you know, you need to make me a loser because you want to be a winner, please, please hate me. I'm serious. Don't rip me up one side or the other. How many understand what I'm saying to you? So please don't do it. Just walk away from me. Pretend like you don't know me. How many agree with that statement? If you need the urge to make me a loser because you want to be a what? A winner, then you don't love me. How many agree with that? It's true. Anybody ever been made to be a loser by somebody they say they love you?
Yeah.
How's it feel? Please, if you have that in store for me, guess what? Just stay away from me. I don't want to be a loser. How many agree with that statement? It's true. It's true, right? Okay, let's do one more. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48.
You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Anybody work with anybody really gets on your nerves? I mean, really? Just one person? Awesome. Carol, you work with anybody gets on your nerves sometimes? Yeah, that's two. Why do you ever work with anybody gets on your nerves?
Every day.
Every day. Glenn, you ever work with anybody gets on your nerves? No, not really. In the days of Christ, they had lepers. And lepers were required under Levitical law to do what? They had to walk with their head down and their head covered, right? And what did they have to say?
Unclean.
Unclean. Unclean, right? And because they did that, church, in closing this message to you, they had to go unclean, unclean. And that gave people what?
Warning.
The opportunity to what?
Get away.
Get away. Cross the street. Get away. Cross the street. Right? You know, we have lepers today. But I don't mean the sore kinds. I'm talking the annoying kind. And then when you see somebody come, you go, oh, oh, we all got them. The lepers, the annoying, the unclean, oh, we got them. The homeless people. When we go down and feed the people down by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and the homeless people come up and they want to hug on you, oh, we all have them, don't we? What did Jesus do with them? He ran to them, didn't he? He ran to them, not from them. If you ignore your enemies, is that a good thing? If you ignore the people that you hate, is that a good thing? No. What should you do? Run to them. Show them the love of Jesus Christ. That's what you're supposed to do. Is that not true? In a little while, we're going to go downstairs and have fellowship. Did I tell you it was spaghetti? I got more. Come on, Pastor, get this done. And, you know, we'll go downstairs. That's what we're going to do. You guys going to join us for lunch? Oh, you guys are welcome, and all the kids, too. We have plenty of food, okay? Plenty. We're going to go downstairs, right? And you survey the room. Who's sitting where? I've known Sonny for like all my life, and I still like him. All my life. Since grade school, elementary, high school, for sure, junior high school, right? For all my life. I've known this guy here, 40, 50, long time. It can't be 50, we're not that old.
No.
30 years. Yeah. And I want to go downstairs and I'm going to sit with these guys. Why? I've known them forever. That's your instinctive thing to do, right? But if you want to be like Christ, you have to look around and find the person sitting by themselves. Right? You go to the one that's by themselves. And you say, hey, I'm Pastor Todd. Who are you?
Right.
Can I have lunch with you?
Yeah.
Awesome. Don't even know you guys. What's your name?
Matt.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Okay.
Can I have lunch with you guys today? If you're staying?
If you stay, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be here with Matt for a while, guys. This is awesome. Where are you from, Matt?
Kennedy.
Kennedy Township. Awesome. That's cool. How many kids you got?
Two.
Two. I bet you're glad I'm sitting here, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought. I'm making your day, huh? That's what I thought. And so the reality of it is, in order to be Christ-like, we need to love who? And don't just say enemies. Who are we supposed to love?
Everybody.
Can an atheist love his wife?
Yes.
Sure. Can an agnostic love his friend?
Yes.
Sure. Does that make you special? I don't think so. We need to love the unlovable. Did you ever know that God loves the unlovable? Who are you thinking about when you said that? How many thought about yourself? Okay, Wednesday night, we're going to really open this up. And I'm going to get into this really in great depth. And hopefully when you leave Wednesday night, you're going to want to take that toll. And you're going to want to use it. And the more you use it, practice makes what?
Permanent.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. And Lord God, we have a lot of work to do in the love factor, because we know we do. We know we do. Oh, everybody in this room is going to tell me what great lovers they are. No, they're not. Because loving means everybody. All the time. 100%. All in. And I don't think anybody in this church got that down yet. Because I don't. And chances are pretty good nobody does. But we can love some people most of the time. But loving all the people all of the time? Nah, I don't think we're doing that too well, Lord. So Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon all of us this day as we leave this place. And help us always to remember that we cannot hear the words on the Sunday and not do them on the Monday. Can't do it. Lord God, may we put into practice today that gift, that toll, that fruit of love that you've given us. Lord, let's practice it today. Because practice makes permanent. And all of God's people said,